I'll just talk for 2 seconds and then just, you know, any thoughts or questions you have, and obviously we can talk later as well. Been one of the toughest processes that I've had to work through, and really thank Ray and his team for being here every weekend for the last couple weekends, as I've been here as well with you. And we had to make a lot of tough decisions in this budget. The 4% reduction is the largest budget decrease by percentage since 1992. It's also the largest dollar percentage reduction in a budget in county history. From about 854 to 820 this year. The only agency that received an increase in the budget is the Board of Ed. We did not ask for a waiver of maintenance of effort. So the $2.7 million increase that the Board of Education received represents maintenance of effort. Community college maintenance of effort is level funding, which we provided. We level funded the Community Service Partnership grant program to nonprofits to support human social service needs in the county. On top of that, we actually increased that slightly because we added a $40,000 kind of emergency fund so that Susan Rosenbaum and her team can monitor critical needs that come up in the community during the year, and nonprofits can apply for that. Every other agency received a decrease with the exception, just a slight exception, of corrections and the Office of Law, frankly, because of some health issues and personnel. We did include, about 80% of the budget is in salary and benefits. Made it very difficult to make the level of cuts that we needed to make without asking employees to share in those cuts somewhat. So we included a furlough of 4 days. We decided the most effective way to have a furlough plan was to close the county down during the 4 work days between Christmas and New Year's. So the county will be essentially closed besides public safety and sort of emergency service personnel. Therefore, we receive the additional savings of reduced energy costs, custodial, and some supply costs. So rec and parks will be closed, for example. Senior centers will be closed. Libraries will remain open, so there is a place for folks to go who, for example, may be used to going to senior centers. Those agencies that cannot close during those 4 days, like corrections, for example, we'll work with their department heads to take 4 days throughout the course of the year. The only exceptions to the furlough plan were in public safety, and their dispatchers and 911 and emergency folks in dispatch, corrections, police officers below the rank of sergeant, and firefighters below the rank of captain. Anybody at those ranks or above will be furloughed. And although we could not require elected officials to be furloughed, I've asked or I'm asking all elected officials to take a 5-day furlough, along with my department heads, who I'm asking to take a 5-day furlough, 1 day more than county employees. Thoughts, questions?
Are you asking them to donate the furlough money back
to the county?
As opposed to giving it to
the charity? We got a ruling from the Office of Law that it is tax deductible. So at some point during the year, we'd request that they write a check representing 5 days, which is about 1.9% of salary, back to the county, and I will be doing the same. Might not do it on day one, since we got to actually take in the money at some point to write it back. And we've actually asked the county council members that I've met with to do that, and the sheriff. I don't think we've talked to the state's attorney yet.
Now, I assume, do the furloughs not include the Board of Ed, or they have to do their own? Does not.
The Board of Ed, they're not our employees. So with the Board of Ed, we told them what we were doing, and we told them how much money we were providing, and it's up to them to make those decisions. Same thing with the community college. I did neglect to mention, and we described, I think, in the budget letter, we were able, by because of the furlough plan, we were able to prevent more widespread layoffs. There are only nine positions reduced in the budget. Three are in the health department, mostly as a reduction because of a reduction in state aid. Two are in soil conservation because they requested the positions be reduced. And four in the sheriff's department, work in the division of alternative sentencing, which we found during our budget process that only one judge tends to sentence people to that. And so they've basically had very few, if any, people sentenced to that program, yet they have four people working there. It was supposed to originally be a program that paid for itself through fees by the folks who were sentenced there. So, for example, they could waive points but make you take, a community service but pay a fee as well. And the fees just aren't coming in. So little by little, the general fund has been supplementing that. And in our analysis, we didn't think that it warranted continued funding.
Now, there was a rule about, about the soil conservation thing failed. So you're cutting the money for those two positions, I assume?
Yeah, we said then that this was really about efficiencies in government. Mm. I still believe that. We've talked to them. The Soil Conservation Board has determined that they will charge developers fees to cover the cost of that service. However, I will tell you that we believe it's a mistake in that I'm glad to be saving the money in our general fund budget. However, they will not be able to generate in fees anywhere near the cost of paying for these folks' salaries. Plus, they'll no longer be county employees, so they'll no longer get benefits. They'll no longer be on our books for insurance, for liability, so all those things they're going to have to cover, and I'm not sure they fully comprehend that. But
will planning and zoning then do the work?
No, we can't.
No,
they still have. They fought against the bill, so they still have to provide the service. Okay. They've declined to, they've decided to charge a fee so they can be independent. Okay. But because of the volume of plans coming in, there's no plans coming in for them to charge the fee, and they can only charge a fee to cover that is of a cost to cover that service. So
it's going to be difficult.
But
we've offered to work with them and to collect the fee for them and let them remain on the county payroll. At this point, they've declined to do.
They've rejected every overture, which is it's their right, but we have concerns about the way that they'll be able to implement the practice. But on the other hand, our general fund saves about $200,000.
Total value of the furlough?
About $1.8 million.
And what about COLA pay increases? I know what firefighters...
There are no COLA increases except for in fire department where they had the multi-year contract. And that's obviously comes out of the fire fund as opposed to the general fund. So nobody who's paid through the general fund will receive a COLA.
But once again, what the school board does is up to them.
Right. And they're not, we write them a check, but we tend not to micromanage how they deal with their employees. I have made it clear to them, and Ray has made it clear to them what we're doing with our employees.
There's a line here about 50 already vacant positions that won't be funded.
Uh-huh.
It also mentions there's several contingent positions. Are those
No, separate.
Okay.
So we're still going through that. It looks like it's about 8 contingent positions. Some departments juggled around contingent hours and are shifting around that funding, but so there will be additional folks that...
They're hired for short-term purposes and have no civil service protection.
So they're temporary employees.
They're temporary employees.
Yeah, they get no benefits, or they do not receive benefits. So, but that is... Those are people who are in jobs who will not be in jobs. It looks like it's about 8.
Okay.
But the 50 positions who were we're holding vacant, we're not funding in next year's budget. And basically, you know, some folks decide to eliminate positions. We're not funding them because we're saying we need them, we just can't afford them this year. Many of them we are able to hold vacant because they're in agencies related to construction. And so, for example, if you have plan reviewers but not as many plans, or inspectors but not as many projects to inspect, we're able to hold some of those vacancies without too much of an impact. Some others are being held in things like the highway maintenance, highway roads crews, and it does mean that there may be, a reduction in the amount of time it takes us to get out and service some of those requests.
Some of the highway road crews are contingent?
No, I meant the 50 vacancies.
Oh, the 50 vacancies.
So then there's 8, I guess, that would be either eliminated or reduced, out of those contingent positions.
Well, there's more that are going to have their hours reduced. Just about all contingent employees will have their hours reduced. And we put less funding in the budget for contingent employees.
We think right now, as we're going through the analysis, that there are 8, we believe. And the reason why I didn't put a number in there is that it changes,
because
unfortunately.
The contingent employees changes all the time.
So it looks like right now there's about 8 people who are contingent employees who currently have a contingent job who will no longer have a job. There will be more than 8 whose hours are affected. But again, contingents are, the thought is it's a shorter term.
And there's more temporary positions anyway.
Yeah.
Not that it diminishes the effect if that's your job. But
talk about the library.
The library, we reduced funding to the library by about $300,000. We had a proposal that was much deeper than that, but we worked with the library. It does appear that we fought to keep Sunday hours open. We wanted to maintain the Sunday hours. The library determined with us that the reduced library hours will be that from Monday through Saturday they will open at 10 a.m. rather than 9 a.m. And the rest of the cuts are coming out of books and materials.
Do you know when that would take effect, I guess, with the budget?
July 1st, yeah.
Okay. At one point, they were open at 10 and years ago, and added back 9. When we looked at the hours, it was.
Well, they opened at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's Monday through Saturday, and it appears that is a minimal impact as far as when you would close down libraries.
So what is the discussion? I think libraries say they were going to add a branch a year in terms of summer Sunday hours. Is that how they
Summer Sunday, we're going to keep both Central and Miller open Sundays, summer Sundays as it is now. We're not able to add additional, but we're going to hold the line. You know, I remember when I was on the council, I fought pretty hard to open at first Central. If you remember, a couple of years ago, no libraries were open Sundays in the summer. We opened Central, then we added Miller a few years ago, but we're going to hold it those two. But the other, and all libraries will be open on Sundays during the school year.
Valerie remained civil during this discussion.
Very civil, but passionate. great advocate for the library system and does a great job. But there's only so many places you can go for funding reductions. I mean, if you think about it, the Board of Education represents, if you include debt service on school capital projects, it's a little over 60% of our operating budget goes to the Board of Education. And with the required maintenance of effort increase, that means you're taking the decrease of, in this case, $34 million out of a little less than 40% of your budget. There's not a lot of additional places to go.
Talk about police and how we're keeping everyone.
And we're, over the last couple of years, we've added over 50 police officers. We are maintaining that level of service. We're not keeping any vacancies. We're not holding any vacancies in police. We asked them to find administrative savings, and they're squeezing overtime and training. But we are maintaining the patrol levels.
You're adding some fire positions. Is
that what you're saying? Well, they're grant funded.
We got a federal grant to add 12 firefighters from what's called the SAFER grant.
They'll be used to put additional people on engines.
And we're restructuring so that our hope is that to have those two new fire stations open this year, and the chief believes we can staff them with additional with those 12 extra and additional and additional existing man and woman power.
It looked like you are going to add to the rainy day fund, is that right?
Yeah,
the legal minimums that are required by law.
Yep, this budget represents. We did not touch rainy day funds. We are zeroing out OPEB contributions this year. Last year, we had about $5 million of general fund expenditure in OPEB. We are also using some OPEB money that we had spent last year, that we had earmarked last year for OPEB but never put in the trust fund. We are putting some of that money into the 2010 budget.
Primarily to offset the state reductions in revenue.
We got down to a point where cutting much deeper became untenable.
Well, the discussion is that next year's going to be worse. So.
Could be. Well, we believe we're using reasonably conservative numbers. The Spending Affordability Committee, for example, recommended spending $824 million in the operating budget. We're at $820. Ray believes we're using conservative revenue projections when it comes to, you know, what we think, you know, for example, next year in income tax revenue in particular. We believe we're budgeting conservatively. So we'll work our way through the through next year. But we didn't touch rainy day funds, and we're not using too much one-time money. So we think we'll be, we're cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to navigate through next year without too many additional cuts, but we don't know.
Is there another $500,000 for Healthy Howard?
Absolutely. Healthy Howard has really become critical to the human and social service delivery in the county, in my humble estimation. In fact, you know, when employers notify the county workforce development that they're laying off employees, workforce development has a rapid response group. You were there with the tour. Mm-hmm. So Cheryl Queen takes out folks, and now somebody from Healthy Howard goes out, on those visits and lets people know what Healthy Howard is, what the access plan is. And the fact is that over 2,500 people have health care. Over 2,500 Howard County residents have health care who didn't have it last year because of Healthy Howard, whether they be in the Healthy Howard plan or enrolled in programs that they were eligible for or didn't know about. It's about 13% of the uninsured, I should say, in Howard County now have coverage because of this plan. So we think it's an important piece of the human service delivery, just like we give grants to grassroots to provide help folks who are homeless or dealing with shelter issues. We're providing grant to Healthy Howard to help folks who are dealing with health care issues or lack thereof.
Where can you talk about the tax rate at all? I understand.
No change
in the tax rate. There's no tax increases. I guess the only slight increase is in water.
Yeah, there's a 6% increase in water.
Which is really based on what Baltimore City charges us.
Like what an average figure would be for that?
We did have that. What was it? We had that in our rating agency presentation.
I'll look that up.
You can get it from Sharon.
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
And of course, as the ad in the paper points out, that if the tax rate doesn't change, then the average bill will go up.
Yeah. And I think despite the assessment decreases, most people will still get a 5% increase in their property tax bill because they're phasing in the growth that they deferred from the big growth over from prior years.
But as that phase continues,
It'll slow down.
That'll slow down.
We have several more years. Yeah, we believe that we have at least three or four more years of people. They got so far behind, you know, the assessments grew so fast that many people were paying between 40 and 70% of their actual assessment. And so as that has come down a little bit, they're still jumping 5% a year to catch up.
But as properties values decrease...
Right. The gap is lessening.
Right.
But there's still such a huge gap.
There's still a gap that there's still room for them to have 5% increases for the next several years.
So if your house was reassessed from 400 to 700, well, maybe when it gets reassessed, it may come down to 600, but you'd still have... it narrows that gap. But even with projected decreases in assessments, we still think we have about 4 or 5 years left of 5%, roughly 5% growth a year in the property tax side, because people have been paying so far below their assessment because of the 5% cap.
And we think in the long run that housing prices will start to increase in Howard County again. Probably not anywhere near the rate they did over the past 5 years, but you know, as BRAC starts to phase itself in and the economy starts to recover, we believe that we'll see reasonable.
But for non-homestead properties, you know, so rental properties, for example, you know, the first third of the county to get reassessed since the market went down 7%. So next year there'll be another third, and you know, it is coming back down to earth. But because of our system, it takes a little while, which frankly is good for budgeting purposes, because if you're in a jurisdiction like in Northern Virginia where they reassess every year and there's no cap, you can go up in revenue 35% and then down 30%. You know, you can't budget that way. At least, you know, our growth, we didn't get ahead of ourselves in the boom years. And now it's moderated this process.
I was gonna ask, was there any talk at all about reducing assessments?
Well, we can't reduce assessments.
It's a state function.
I mean, it's the rate, rather. I guess reducing the rate.
The rate of growth? The rate of
the tax rate.
The tax rate. Yeah.
No. I mean, yeah. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, we had discussions about the tax rate, about raising it, lowering it, and at this point, just with the revenue based on the current rate, I tell you, there are not a lot of additional places to go to reduce this budget without significant reductions in service. And, you know, it's a balancing act. I mean, I think public understands that. I hope the public appreciates in Howard County, I believe they do, that they get a pretty high quality of life here with great schools and libraries and parks and public safety. And, you know, the kind of reductions that we're making in this year's budget, it will be felt somewhat, but we believe it'll be modest. If we go much deeper here, there's very little, very few places to go without significant cuts in the things that people rely on a day-to-day basis. Good thing is we were able to, because of some of the reductions we made over the last couple of years, whether it be the cable studio or the print shop or IT savings, we've been able to save millions of dollars over the last couple of years in those areas, which prevented us from being deeper in a hole this year. The take-home car policy, for example, we've got about 250,000 miles less traveled in county vehicles this year, which has allowed us to save money in the 09 budget, for example, and in the fuel fund. That's money that we're going to need to help balance the 09 budget. But so we are finding savings. The trash fund is receiving significant savings because of the recycling program. So we're going to save $700,000 to $800,000 this year in the trash fund because of reduction in amounts of trash being hauled away. So we're making a number of savings internally that are helping us get through this. But at some point, you know, there's only so much deeper you can cut without it really being felt.
I was going to ask you on that, when you're talking about fees, I saw there was a new fee that we added on for private roads and trash collection.
Yeah.
Is that, I guess, just offsetting costs? Or
it's an offset. Well, they all have to. Basically, right now, if the house is on a private road, they don't qualify for service. Okay. And so we're providing them, and they don't pay the trash fee.
Okay.
So we're providing them recycling services and imposing a monitor.
As we put the recycling service in the trash fund, it means that you need to be paying for it. So you can elect not to pay it, but if you're a private community that wants the taxpayers to pay for your service, you need to pay that fee into the county for us to pick it up. Because everybody else pays for it on their property tax bill with their trash fee. Tough year, but we're going to get through it and come out stronger than ever. Right?
Right.
Well, but if you live on a... They would only pay $39, whereas other people are paying $2.
Yeah, but they're not getting trash pickup. They're only getting recycling services for that. They have to pay a private hauler for trash pickup.
What happened is, if you're... like the townhouse is behind the River Hill Village Center, where we used to live, your condo fee covers trash pickup, but the county just provided recycling.
Okay.
And so, but because at that point it was sort of out of the general fund, there was some rationale there. And once we moved it to the trash fund, you really have to be paying in. So we're basically telling private communities, either pick it up through your condo fee and have your condo association, whatever your service is that picks up your trash, pick up recycling, or if you want us to continue it, you gotta pay in for it. Along those lines, we also reduced the business. We had a program to provide recycling pickup for small businesses. We're no longer going to provide that service. It's about $700,000 in savings to the county general fund. We've developed a co-op plan with the Chamber of Commerce that the Chamber of Commerce has been promoting and rolling out.
And when will it be formally introduced?
When will it be formally introduced?
All of it.
Oh, there's an event coming up. Did I just step on the message, Kevin?
We've already told them that the mall's going to have an event on this Wednesday.
That's this Wednesday? The Columbia Mall?
Yeah.
Going green, recycling, so that I don't have to throw away my plastic bottle when I'm at the mall getting frustrated.
Or join the Facebook group.
Exactly. I don't know where that came from.
Any other
news?
Discovered, previously undiscovered.
$40 million? I'm just kidding.
No.
No raids on Reckon Parks or anything like that?
No.
Self-supporting fund or anything?
No.
No.
Great.
I'll be available this afternoon. You'll present this to the council tonight.
5:30, and then it'll be in the council's hands.
Okay. Yeah, if I could just get like some kind of an average dollar figure for the water and sewer thing.
Yeah, we should be able to get that pretty quickly.
Okay.
I hate to give out a number. I want to say...
Yeah. I have the presentation right on.
I think the average family four is like 200-something, I want to say. We'll figure it out. But it's, again, based on Baltimore City raised by 9%, I think. So we were able not to pass on the entire increase, but we did have to pass on some of it. And just to remind people that, you know, we buy our water from Baltimore, and it's still a lot cheaper than buying it from WSSC. Only a small slice of the southeast part of the county gets it from WSSC, which is more expensive than Baltimore.
They're going to give us full water pressure this year.
Mm-hmm. WSSC?
I have a water my lawn this summer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there will be no water bans. There will be no water bans. It's really our fixing the pipes.
And the rain today is helping the drought.
Thank goodness. Yes. And you know, it's nice that it comes during the work week and not during the week.
We had some jokes about whether it meant we should have used the rainy day funds since it was raining, but we decided against it.
Was there any consideration?
Sure.
Any serious consideration?
It was on the table.
I know it's sort of this weird deal where you have this fund, but then they say, well, don't use it because then the house will be able to
save. I think, you know, the reason, and even the rating agencies, when we talked to them, we had a good dialogue about whether this was an appropriate time. And I think there's a... I think there's an understanding that this is one, not... If there's any time not to fund OPEB, there's an acceptance that this would be the time. And as far as rainy day funds, they even, some of the rating agencies said they've been having internal discussions, at their agencies in New York about how to factor that in. I mean, clearly... you could say that it is raining. Our feeling was, to your point earlier, that if next year is worse, it's an option on the table. It's not one that I want to, you know, I'd like to prevent using, but you're right, you know. And our charter, if we had to go into it, which we didn't, but our charter is pretty clear about, you know, replacing it with any, you know, surplus as soon as it's back. So, but at this point, we decided we could get through it using the OPEB money and the significant reductions. All right. Thanks, guys.